All right. Open up to the book of Luke. Hope you're in the right class. This is Portraits of Christ or Jesus from the book of Luke. Is everybody in the right place? Okay. Now, once you've gotten to the book of Luke, I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes. And on this piece of paper, I want you to draw a self-portrait. Okay? Just a few minutes. I don't expect it to be a Da Vinci or a Rembrandt or anything like that. If you don't, quiet down, please. Let me have your attention. Hang on just a second. I'll answer your question. Let me have your attention. For us to be done, for us to get done in the amount of time, I need you to listen. As you do this, you don't need to talk to anybody else. Just take care of it. Draw a self-portrait of yourself. That's what a self-portrait is. Draw a portrait of yourself. Do the best of your ability. I'm going to give you 3-4 minutes maybe, and just do your best. Yes, ma'am.
Does it have to get
a list on? Whatever you want. It's your work. If you want to make it realistic, if you want to do kind of a Picasso kind of thing, do that too. But I'm going to give you just a few minutes to take care of that, okay? Do your best. Do what?
It's just something that
joke
at my school.
Okay.
Every single teacher ever. I'm trying really hard to
write.
But
I look. You gotta make it fast, and I got a whole lot of time to write.
This one's
good.
Good ones. Angry ones. That one's
that's my everyday life.
I know, right?
Look, I'll just do this.
My son, he
knows that. He's wrong. I'm just trying to make it bigger.
Look, it's
Tim.
Best
honest
thing. Where is the guy going?
Are you doing alright?
Look, it's Tim. It's your Uncle Harry.
Where's the guy
going? No, I don't draw.
Get something on paper, even if it's kind of funny, kind of silly.
I messed up on the glasses. It's like a straight line.
Yes, you're done. Did you get any space?
I know. That's all I can do.
All right, draw something for me. Or for you.
What do I have to
draw? Just a self-portrait. Self-portrait. What do you think you look like? Or something along those lines. You want to do the abstract a little bit? That's fine.
Oh, man, look at my
hair. Well, you're going to be a really good teacher.
This is so bad.
Oh, wow.
That's all right. I'm going to give you about 2 more minutes. 2 more minutes.
And she thinks she's a bad job.
This is so disgusting.
Totally.
Draw me a shirt. It's like you.
Look, it's me.
About a minute and a half left.
Look awesome.
Zach. Like a football player. It looks like a football player.
Nice. There you go, SpongeBob.
I shouldn't have done this.
One more minute.
That's 30 more seconds.
You had to go first. Let's get it.
That's
good.
I can pick you out of a lineup.
Would you look at me?
Did you become a transgender?
All right. You can finish this later. If you didn't, you can do what you after class. You can do what you want to with these. But I'm going to use it to illustrate a point here. They say a picture is worth
a
thousand words. What kind of words would come from your picture? Well, what would people say?
Ugly.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. But if you were to show this self-portrait to someone, okay, if you wanted to show someone who you were, what you're about, who you are, what makes you you, what you're interested in, what's caused you to become who you are, would you show them this picture? Why? It's not you. What does this picture tell others about you? Maybe you can't draw. Okay. But it doesn't tell. It may tell them, hey, this is what her hairstyle is or his hairstyle. It may tell them whether you wear glasses or not. It may tell them, you know, a couple other physical features. But it doesn't tell them who you are, right? It doesn't tell them this portrait right here. They're not going to look at it and go, oh, that she's a child of God. It's not going to say that, is it? It doesn't tell them that you are an athlete. Doesn't tell them that you're good at, it may tell them you're good at drawing. But it doesn't tell them that you're good at football, basketball, volleyball. It doesn't tell them what your interests are. It doesn't tell them anything about you. If you wanted somebody to know about you, would you show them this? Or would you write something about yourself? What would you do? You'd write something about yourself. Because you can fill pages about yourself and who you are and what makes you you and what's brought you to this point in your life and why you have decided to follow Christ or have not and why you do this or not that or what kind of family you're in and all those kinds of things. If you could write that, then people would know something about you, right? As we open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Luke today, God doesn't give us a physical picture of Jesus. Do we know what? Does anybody know what Jesus looked like? No? There's some people that do. Some people say he looks like this.
Whoa.
Some people say Jesus looks like this. These are some pictures from different artists, what they think. A little bit closer. There, he's not. This is a little more manly here. Some people, Jesus looks like this. One artist said, this is the way he looks. That's kind of a glamour shot, Jesus, here. Something. Another person said, the best of his ability, and looking at where Jesus was from and the physical characteristics of those people at that time, seemed to think he looked like this. It's very possible. I don't know. But do any of these pictures tell you anything about who Jesus is?
No.
No, they don't. And so God in His wisdom, instead of giving us a physical picture of Jesus and what He may look like, He gave us four accounts and describes to us and tells us who Jesus is. And we're going to look at Luke. Have you opened up to Luke yet? If you haven't, do that. We're going to look at four different things that Luke tells us about Jesus and see and make some application to ourselves. First thing, I want to tell you something about Luke himself. Does anybody know anything about Luke? Nothing about Luke?
Two books.
He wrote two books? What are they?
Acts and Luke.
Luke and Acts. And because of Luke and Acts combined together, Luke wrote more of the New Testament content-wise than anybody else. Who wrote the most letters? Paul did. But Luke wrote more content than what Paul did. Anything else? He was a doctor. He's a very well-educated man. He's a very honest man of integrity. He tells at the very beginning of Luke that he didn't see all these things about Jesus, but he researched them very carefully. Look at this word, verse 2. Luke chapter 1, verse 2. He says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus. So Luke didn't see all these things, but he researched them. He interviewed people. He talked to the people that did. And he put all these things together and wrote a gospel, the truth about Jesus. Luke holds the distinguishing award, I guess, for being the only Gentile Christian to actually write a book of the New Testament. Luke was not a Jew; he was a Gentile, and so he is a Greek, possibly. And so it's very interesting to know that, because one thing that the Greeks were very concerned about was the human body. You ever seen all the sculptures that they did? They were very concerned with the human body, with the mind, with wisdom, knowledge, and learning, and things of that nature. And we'll see that in just a minute. There, in their ancient Greek culture, how many gods did they have, the Greeks? A lot. What was one thing about them that stood out?
They were all
dead. Oh, they weren't true gods, obviously.
Men.
They're... Basically, they were what? Okay, they really reinforced a human aspect about them. Okay, that they had human bodies. They could kind of change, and they came from heaven and earth and under the earth. You know, those kinds of things, interacted with humans. Right? We get that with Luke. He shows Jesus that way. So let's look at four ways that Luke portrays the nature of Jesus. Number one. He shows us that, let's start with this. Luke portrays Jesus as the Son of Man, as human. All the Gospels do. Matthew really shows him as king. Mark really portrays him as a servant. John portrays him as the Son of God. Luke portrays him as the Son of Man, as being as human. And we're going to look at that. Here's the four ways. Number one, birth and the growth of Jesus. Luke records information about the physical birth and growth of Jesus more than any other gospel account. We see some in Luke, not very much, if any at all, in Mark. John portrays him. We see a little bit of that, but it's more about his time and eternity as being the Word. But in Luke, we see the birth and growth of Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 42. Mary, she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women. Excuse me, this is Elizabeth. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. He's talking about Jesus being born into the world. A little bit later, Luke calls him the child. And then we see calling him the man. We really see the physical nature of Jesus as in him being human. Yes, Luke portrays him as divine, calls him the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. But Luke really concentrates as a Greek on the human nature of Jesus. And we see that in his birth and his growth. What does the Bible say in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52? Somebody read that. Remember when Jesus, his parents took him to the temple, and he went before the teachers in the temple, and they were really amazed by his questions and his learning. And look at what it says in verse 52 of chapter 2. Somebody read that.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Okay. Increase in wisdom and in stature. What were two things that the Greeks were really concerned about? Stature, the human form, right? And wisdom, growing in knowledge and applying that. They were concerned with that. And so Luke portrays Jesus in that way. Here's a man that increased and he grew in wisdom, and knowledge, and in stature. He went from a baby to a full-grown man. He grew just the same way that you and I did. He was human just the same way you and I are. But Luke does assure us that this man is the Son of the Most High. The Son of God who will rule on the throne of David, and there'll be no end to his kingdom. So we see, number one, the birth and the growth of Jesus. Number two, Luke emphasizes the humanity of Jesus by showing us that he was a man of prayer. He prayed a lot. He prayed a lot. We don't have every recorded prayer of Jesus in Scripture, but 15 prayers are recorded, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 15 different prayers that Jesus prayed, I think, along those lines. Luke records 11 of them. 11 of them. He emphasized Jesus as a man of prayer. Can you remember any of the times that Jesus prayed? Anybody? Don't be afraid to speak up. In the garden? Okay. What else?
On the cross.
On the cross?
Church.
Do what?
Church.
No, not well. I'm sure he prayed several times. He probably prayed in the temple. I'm sure he did. But we don't have that recorded. Anything else? I'll give you the ones that Luke records. Jesus prayed at his baptism. He withdrew several occasions to a desolate place by himself to pray alone. He prayed before choosing the 12. He prayed before he asked the 12 about his true identity, in which Peter then says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus prayed at his transfiguration. Jesus prayed for Peter's faith. He prayed at the garden, as somebody said a while ago. He prayed at the crucifixion. And he prayed while he was on the cross for those that were actually executed. He said, "Father, what do you say, remember?
Forgive them,
for they know not what they do." Absolutely. Luke emphasizes the human nature of Jesus by showing that he was a man that relied on God in prayer. Not only did he grow physically, was he born into the world the same way all of us are. Not only did he grow in the same way that all of us did. Not only did he face as a man, as a human being, temptations that we face. You know, some things that we forget to think about is Jesus was a teenager, wasn't he? If he grew like all of us, wasn't he a teenager? I'm pretty sure they didn't have freshman, sophomore, you know, middle school, high school, that kind of stuff back then. But do you think he faced temptation and he struggled as a teenager? Absolutely. We forget some of those things. He was just as human as you are and myself and anybody else. But Luke also shows us that Jesus prayed. And God invites us in the same way to pray. Jesus cast his cares, he cast his worries, his anxieties on God, and Peter tells us, encourages us to do the same. Cast your cares and anxieties on him because he cares for you. God wants us to talk to him. And if Jesus, the Son of God, needed the strength that came from prayer, don't you think we need the same thing? And we got to look at our prayer life. How often do you talk to God? I don't need to show hands. You know, Jesus prayed. Pray when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, before meals, before a test, before, you know, if you're struggling with some kind of decision that you got to make. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You pray because you're having a problem with friends, maybe a struggle that you're having in the youth group, or what in your family. Pray for your brothers and sisters, for your parents. I mean, all kinds of things. That we need the strength and the wisdom on how to deal with problems. And Jesus prayed even before big decisions. Do you think he knew who he was going to pick for the 12? For his apostles? Yeah, but he still prayed about it. He still prayed about it. We see the humanity of Jesus in that. Oh, we got to get going. All right, number 3. Luke portrays the humanity of Jesus by showing his great care and concern and compassion towards other people. Luke portrays Jesus as being deeply compassionate for all people, especially the poor, the oppressed, those marginalized by Jewish culture. In other words, those that would have been kind of outcast or looked at differently. Who do the Jews look at differently?
Everyone who's not a Jew.
Everyone who wasn't a Jew. What was Luke? A Gentile. I mean, don't you think he would have seen something in Jesus, something special about Jesus in caring for his own people? And not just the Jews. But Jesus, we see the marginalized such as the Samaritans, the Gentiles, lepers, and even women at that time. And this would have been particular interest to Theophilus, who Luke was writing to, and any of the other Gentiles, as seeing Jesus who cared for all people, and not just the people that were like him, or of his same nationalities, being Jewish, or same heritage. Jesus cared for all people. Let me give you some of the examples that Luke gives. Jesus said he was anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, recover sight to the blind, and liberate the oppressed. Luke records Jesus referencing God's concern for Gentiles in the Old Testament, and specifically mentioning widows. Luke mentions women such as Joanna and Susanna that helped Jesus and are so supported his ministry, and they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Jesus shines very favorable light on the Samaritans when he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan as being neighborly to someone who would have viewed him as his enemy. Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath who had a disabling spirit. Jesus records the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, or the prodigal son. Only Luke records the humility of the tax collector as the Pharisee was praying. What did the Pharisee say? Thank God I'm not, you remember? Like him. Okay. And then the tax collector says, what does he say?
He beats on his chest and says that to forgive him because he is a sinner.
That's right. Luke records that. How Jesus looked favorably on those kinds of people or reached out to them. All the Gospels record Peter cutting off the ear of Malchus in the garden. But you know what Luke records?
The healing.
The healing. Luke records Jesus healing that man. And so we see Jesus as a man who has great concern, great compassion, and great care for all people. Not people just like him. That's what we're tempted to do, right? We're tempted to stay with people that look like us, think like us, behave like us, think the same way as us, love the same things as us, but not Christ. He was a man who went to people, specifically went to people who needed him, that didn't look like him, that weren't as clean and well kept as him. He went to those people and he cared for them, he loved on them, and he showed them concern, he cared, with the reason, or for the specific reason of what? Just doing good?
To save them.
To save them. To point them and to show them and reveal to them who God is. And last, Luke, we see his favorite description of Jesus. He calls it Luke's favorite description, which happens to be Jesus' favorite description of himself, is the Son of Man. Anybody have any idea what that means? Good. I'm going to show you. All right, the Son of Man is kind of a double meaning. At first, it shows his humanity. Let's look at a few verses. Chapter 7 and verse 34. It says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Here we see the idea that Jesus is a man. He had to eat, he had to drink, right? He needed sustenance in the same way that we did. He calls him the Son of Man. And we see other places where Jesus or Luke calls him the Son of Man refers to the physical aspect of him. But other places we see that the Son of Man is a description or a show of his deity. Luke says the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. Luke 5 and verse 24. That the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19 and verse 10, only God can do that. And that the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of God on power, only God can do that. We have Luke showing us the birth and the growth of Jesus as a man. We have Luke showing us as a man that he relied on the Father through prayer. That as a man he showed great concern and welfare for his fellow man. And that as the title of the Son of Man, not only is he man, but he's also God. So what does that mean for us? How is, as Wayne said last night, being the I Am, how is that a present reality for us?
He walked among us.
He walked among us? How does portraying Jesus as a man here, how does that affect you in the way you're all potentially, if you haven't graduated, going back to school in a couple weeks, right? How does Jesus the man impact our lives?
Just show influence to others around us. Show the life that he has shown.
Okay. Okay.
There's a sense of empathy, like, to understand that he's felt what we feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus, although he's perfect and never sinned, he struggled with the exact same things that you struggle with. And he overcame them. You have that power in you as a Christian. You have that power to overcome that temptation, to overcome and defeat that sin because of what he's done. Jesus left heaven, came to this world as a man to show us how we are to live as men and women. We do that by growing, obviously, but increasing in wisdom and in favor with God. How do we do that? We got to be in the Word, right? We got to read. We got to study. When we're done reading Scripture, we got to go, how does that change my life? How does that apply to me? How does that change me? What do I need to do now to change so I can be more like what God's Word says? That's how I grow in wisdom and favor with God. Jesus came and showed me that as a man, I need to rely on God in prayer. I need to talk to Him. When I have struggles, I can't overcome them, but the power of Jesus in me through prayer, I can overcome them, right? Prayer may not heal all my problems. My prayers may not be answered the way that I want them done. But in prayer, I learn how to rely on God and not myself. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I accomplished everything that the Father sent me to do. Because he was a man of prayer. Jesus, as a man, shows me that I need to have care and concern for my fellow man. When you go back to school, you have a group of people that you feel comfortable with, right? You have a certain group of people, a certain group of girls, or a certain group of guys, or maybe a combination that you feel comfortable with, that you seek them out when you get to school in the morning, that you look for them maybe at lunchtime, or you look for them afterwards, you look for them on Friday nights at the football game, or you look for them wherever it may be. You feel comfortable with that group of people, right? As we've looked here, Jesus reached out to the people that didn't have that comfort. He reached out to people that didn't have that group of people, that didn't have that family. And he brought them in and showed them a sense of belonging and family, care, compassion. He showed them that there is somebody. If nobody else, there is somebody who cares for them. And aren't we to do that? The parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus asked that lawyer, he says, which one of them was neighborly? And he said, the one that showed mercy. And what was Jesus' answer? You remember? He said, you go do likewise. In other words, you be that neighbor. You be that man. Luke portrays Jesus as a man showing us how we are to live a life as a man or a woman in Christ. Any questions or comments? All right, the Gospels. God didn't tell us what Jesus looked like physically. He showed us who Jesus was through words. And those words tell us about the actions of Jesus. You want people to know who you are? Sometimes we're too concerned about what's right here, right? This is who makes me me. I got beautiful hair. I got, my makeup looks right. I got the right pair of glasses or sunglasses or, whatever, the clothes. We think this is what makes us, is what people see. God said, that's not the case. I'm not going to tell you what Jesus looks like. I'm going to show you what Jesus did. That's what makes us. Not this. It's what's right here and what people see and know about us, not what we look like. God's not concerned with that. As a matter of fact, he rejected a man because of what He accepted a man as king, not because of what he looked like, because he was here. Who's that? David. That's who God uses. That's who
God puts in the lives of people to change hearts and change people. Be that person. Don't be concerned with what's here. Be concerned with what you do. And that's what Luke shows us about Jesus. He's a man who cared. He's a man who talked to God. He's a man who grew in favor with God.